So the Lord's put on my heart to share this morning from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. We've had that reading, this well-known passage about Jesus feeding the 5,000. We begin in verse 30, and we read about how the apostles have gathered around. They've been off on a mission trip, on a short-term mission sent out by Jesus, and they have come back and they've reported to Jesus everything that's happened. They've seen God at work. They've seen the kingdom of God working in people's lives. And, well, they're excited, but we read they're also tired and hungry because they haven't even had time to eat. They've been so busy serving God, going about God's business. And Jesus looks at the disciples and he recognizes the need that they have. Now, as I read about the disciples being so busy and involved in serving God, I don't know if that resonates with you, but it can with me. You know, sometimes we can be trying to live our Christian lives serving God, and we can get tired, can't we? We can get physically tired. We can get emotionally tired, and sometimes even spiritually tired and weary. Life is happening around us, and things can become difficult. Well, the disciples were tired on that day, and Jesus looked at them, and he recognized and understood where they were at. He understood their need. Jesus understands, and he understood their need, and he says to them these incredible words, "Come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest." I wonder if the Lord wants to speak to some of us this morning through those words that he first spoke 2,000 years ago to his friends. You're tired. You're weary. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The invitation to come to him, to be close to Jesus. I don't know what that means for you this morning. For me, it means in the midst of all the busyness of life and the responsibilities and everything that's happening, that I need to have quality time with the Lord every morning. I need to be praying through the day. I need to be starting my day in God's word, allowing him the time, the space to speak to me, to strengthen. I need that time of prayer. I need that time every day to be alone with Jesus. I wonder if some of us started New Year's resolution, it seems like a long time ago, a month ago, to read through the Bible perhaps, or to have a regular quiet time. I won't ask how you're doing, but I do encourage you this morning, and I just feel as I look at this, these words of Jesus, this encouragement, this challenge for all of us who are followers of Jesus, we need to spend quality time with him, set aside the distractions, to come by ourselves, find that quiet place, and get that rest that we need, the rest that our souls need to be strengthened in him, that we would have a hunger for his word, that we'd have a desire to know him and walk closely with him. Well, Jesus saw the need of the disciples, and he said, "Come, come and step aside. Let's go on a little boat trip together." We read later, it's a spring day, beautiful green grass, and the disciples head off on a boat. This is an original photograph taken at the time, which shows exactly what it was like. The disciples, they needed that quality time with Jesus. They needed that time in the boat. You see, when they're in the boat with Jesus, they're safe. It's just them, the 12, and the Lord. And they'd been rushing around, and life had been busy. And now, they have that time together with him. And I'm sure as Christians, we value that time, don't we? That time when we can meet just us with other friends of Jesus. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, Jesus is here. He's here in our midst now, today, every Sunday, when we meet together. Jesus is here. Our boat is a funny shape, but this is a safe boat, a safe place where we can meet with Jesus. We can hear from his word. We can worship him. We can pray to him. It's wonderful to be in the boat with Jesus, because with Jesus we find acceptance and forgiveness. With Jesus we find his provision. He meets our needs. He knows what we need. He gives us direction. He's a good shepherd. It's wonderful to be in the boat with Jesus. He leads us to life, the fullness of life, eternal life. So we are safe in the boat. The disciples were safe in the boat. It was a beautiful day. They're relaxing and enjoying fellowship with Jesus. But something happened. Who noticed? Who was awake during the reading? What happened? There they are in the boat. That wonderful time with Jesus. And then one of them opens his eyes. He's snoozing a little bit. He looks to the far side. They're going for a picnic. They're going for a little barbecue on the far side of the lake. They'd packed a little packed lunch. And they're heading there. And they see something. What? Something's moving on that far bank. What is that? John, you're the youngest. What's happening over there? Your eyes are the best. What? Oh, no. You know what it is? The crowds had followed them. The crowds that they'd left behind. The crowds that had caused such weariness and tiredness. They hadn't even had time to eat because of the crowds, because they were serving God. And now Jesus, who had said, come and let's have a quiet time together, let's find some quality fellowship time. Now they're there in the boat, and the crowds have followed them and are waiting for them. They've worked out where they're going. How do you think the disciples feel at this moment? How would you feel? Oh, Lord, you promised. You promised it would just be us. You promised we'd have that quality time that we needed. And, oh, the problem was they knew Jesus. They looked at Jesus, and they saw that look of compassion in his eye. In his eyes, and they knew what that meant. Of course, the disciples looked at the crowds, and well, they also felt compassion, but were they really called to continue to minister in the midst of tiredness and struggles and problems? Jesus had promised that they would have time alone with him. Well, let's imagine we're in the boat and we glance outside and we look at those who are not in the boat. And I guess my question this morning, or one of my questions, what do you see when you look outside the boat? What do you see when you look around you at the world? The sort of things that we're confronted with in our lives as we look at the television and the media and these horrendous, horrific things that are happening in our world. Maybe you've seen recently reports from Yemen and Somalia, the suffering of people there because of civil conflict and children especially who are suffering. Just heard this last week, 67 million people in our world are refugees, people who have had to flee their home country because of conflict or economic problems or fear, whatever it might be. 67 million people. About this time last year, I was traveling in the country of Bangladesh, visiting one of our projects in the south of Bangladesh, an area called Cox's Bazar. You probably remember in August 2007 when we started to hear of the Rohingya people of Myanmar, Burma, this situation that the UN call a classic case of ethnic cleansing. 1.8 million people, Muslim people, 1.8 million Rohingya who had to flee the land of Burma. Many of them, great peril, crossing the river into southern Bangladesh. And there are refugee camps, or one very large refugee camp. It is impossible for me to describe what a refugee camp of 740,000 people looks like. In fact, everyone there says officially 740,000. They say there's easily 1 million people. In this huge refugee camp, as far as the eye can see, people living in horrific conditions. 1.8 million people, about whom some years ago we didn't know of any Christian believers amongst them. And praise God, there's just a small group of believers who have come to faith, folks who have come to faith and are starting to meet together for, in fear of their lives. What do you see when you look outside the boat? Recently, our workers in Africa shared with us one out of every three children growing up in sub-Saharan Africa grows up malnourished to some degree. We were in Zambia recently. One out of four children are not being educated. We were there in a school that OM has helped establish in a very, very needy area around the city of Kabwe. And meeting there with the head teacher of the school, and she started weeping. And she said, there's such an incredible need. She pointed outside the window. There's no glass just outside the hole in the wall. And she said, you see that little boy playing football by the well? Just kicking around a makeshift little football, about 12 years old. She said, he, just a few moments before you arrived, was in my office, and he knelt in front of me, and he begged me, please, head teacher, let me come to school. A 12-year-old begging to come to school. She said, there's nothing we can do. We're helping hundreds of children in the community, but there are thousands who need an education. What do you see when you look outside the boat? Helen and I were just seeing a program which was portraying the situation in India of children growing up on the streets in the most horrific conditions and situations that many of them face. What do you see when you look outside the boat? You know, we could talk of the physical needs, but of course we think of the spiritual needs of people in our world. 7.8 billion people sharing the planet with us. That number's growing. When I first started preaching about missions, it was 5 billion. Shows how old I am or how quick the population's growing. 7.8 billion people sharing the planet. 3 billion of them have never heard the gospel. In fact, worse than that, 3 billion of the people sharing the planet with us live in areas or communities where there is no gospel witness. More than 40% of the population of the world have never heard of Jesus and do not have the opportunity of hearing about Jesus, humanly speaking. 1.5 billion people who don't have the Bible in their own language. 6,000 out of 16,000 unreached people groups in the world. Sorry, I'm just throwing statistics at you. But what I'm trying to communicate, the incredible need, physically, but also spiritually in our world. And we do believe, don't we, that Jesus is the only answer. There is no other way. There is no other name under heaven by which we may be saved. It's only through Jesus. He is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. People around the world need to hear the good news of Jesus. So perhaps we're reminded of his words in John 4 when he says to his friends, open your eyes. Remember, we're in the boat. The disciples are in the boat. Looking out at the crowds, we're looking at the needs of those around us. And we're asking, what do we as followers of Jesus see when we look outside the boat? When Helen and I first moved to Moldova, we were just struck by these extraordinary needs. I'll never forget meeting one lady who's coming along to the small church that we were helping to plant. And she shared with us how a few weeks earlier her father had died. She had not had any money to pay for the funeral. And so she had taken the floorboards up from her home and she'd built a coffin and she'd buried her father. And I can remember going back with Helen to our little apartment and just on our knees crying out to the Lord, Lord, what can we do? These incredible needs. It was as if the Lord whispered then, Matthew, do you see? Do you see what I see? And I heard that voice whispering again, do you see? Just after Christmas. We had a wonderful Christmas as a family, celebrating and probably eating too much good food. We're safe in the boat with Jesus. And on Boxing Day, news comes from Nigeria that 10 Christians were martyred, beheaded, because they'd put their trust in Jesus. Whilst we're celebrating, whilst we're safe in the boat, the next day we heard that this bridal party, a Christian wedding, were completely killed. The whole group were killed simply because they trusted Jesus. And of course, we hear, don't we, of reports of our brothers and sisters suffering in so many countries around the world. In Central Asia, India is becoming more and more difficult for Christian believers. We think of Afghanistan, we think of Iran, although many Iranians coming to faith, both in the country and outside. We think of the challenge in Iraq. We think and pray, of course, for North Korea. China, it's still very, very difficult to follow Jesus, even though there's maybe 100 million Christians in China alone, people who love the Lord Jesus. What do you see? What do we see when we look outside the boat, when we see the crowds? The problem is, life is so busy. The problem is, our lives are full. We all have so much to do. There are so many priorities. There are so many things that are vying for our attention. And it's so easy to get comfortable in the boat. It's so easy just to stay here and to keep the sweets for ourselves. And yet we do know, just like the children were taught this morning, that we know what we're supposed to do with the sweets. We know what we're supposed to do with the good news, don't we? But we get tired. We get comfortable. It's difficult to make time. We don't have energy. It's difficult to look beyond our own situation. We're consumed by our own needs, our own priorities, our own lives. We do feel compassion. We're sometimes moved and challenged. The occasional PowerPoint, the occasional mission speaker. But, well, it's easy just to get on with our own lives and concentrate on staying in the boat. The disciples, when they landed on that day on the far shore, and they got out of the boat and they arranged the crowds, and well, Jesus preached to them, and no one preached like Jesus preached. No one healed in that way. Healing the sick, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. People felt close to God when they were close to Jesus. And the disciples would have had a wonderful time. But remember, they were tired and they were hungry. And it got a little bit late in the day, and they come to Jesus. And well, they say these words in verses 35 and 36. Look, it's a remote place. It's already getting late. We've got safeguarding issues. The children are here, maybe without their parents. It's getting dark. It's a little bit dangerous. Time to send them home. They're hungry. The crowds are hungry. It's interesting, isn't it? The disciples start off hungry. They're saying, hey, Jesus, the crowds are hungry. Maybe they're a little bit hungry themselves. Send the crowds away to buy some bread, Jesus. Here we have 12 friends who have put their trust in Jesus, who are advising him and telling him what he should do. And I wonder if that reflects a little bit our prayers sometimes as Christians. You know, we pray and advise God when we have compassion. We hear of some of these needs. We're confronted with these needs, the crowds who are not in the boat. And, well, we advise God and tell him what he should do. God, maybe you should send out missionaries to these places. Lord, would you bring us a pastor who would be able to preach the good news and reach the whole of Eastleigh. Lord, would you use our youth ministers, our community workers to reach out into the local community? Lord, would you help those in need on a Friday night, on a Saturday night? Lord, would you do this? We advise Jesus and we kind of tell him what would be good for him to do. And these are of course, good prayers. The way Jesus responds to his friends is actually a challenge for us. Because in verse 37, he says, you give them something to eat. you do something. You know, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I'm sure in the original Greek it's with a smile, he says. I'm making that up, but Jesus smiling at his friends who are advising him, telling him what he should do. And why don't you do something? Why don't you feed them? But Lord, we can't. It would be too expensive. It would cost 8 months of a man's wage. Do you want to blow the whole mission's budget just on this one meal for 5,000 men? There's women, there's children, there's so many people. Should we spend all this money? Of course, Jesus had another plan. But the excuses that come, Lord, it would cost us too much. Lord, it would be too expensive. Lord, I can't feed the hungry in countries around the world. Lord, I can't help persecuted believers in countries that I'm never going to visit. Lord, I can't teach young people what it means to follow Jesus. Lord, I can't preach. Lord, I can't help in the worship group. Lord, I can't heal the sick. Lord, I can't help drug addicts. Lord, I can't help those on a Friday evening who have got themselves into all sorts of trouble. Lord, I can't help children in other countries be educated. I can't share my faith with my neighbors. I can't do anything. Because it would cost me too much. That's the bottom line. That's what the disciples were saying. It would cost too much. I can't get involved. I can't tell people about the hope that I have in you. You know, I was thinking about the cost for us as believers who are safe in the boat. And one of our leaders in sub-Saharan Africa was talking about one of the countries in the Sahel region, just where sub-Saharan Africa meets North Africa, this very, very difficult area, a band of countries there. He said, one of our workers, he said, just called and is involved in a church planting effort, been there for 10 years, and just starting to see fruit, starting to see people come to faith, put their trust in Jesus. But incredible persecution, people being even killed because of their faith, and persecuted in horrendous ways. And this missionary church planter said, I am afraid that soon I will be killed because of my testimony for Jesus. But he said, please, would you assure us, would you promise us that if we are killed, that you would send others to come and take our place, that the gospel might continue to progress in this place? Wow, heard that, and I just thought of our excuses. Oh, it would cost us too much, Lord. We can't get involved. Well, today, you here at Eastleigh have a special focus on global missions. And of course, well, you've invited someone to come and preach, and I've brought along my slides. You know what they say? There's only one thing worse than a missionary sharing. It's a missionary sharing with his slides. here we go. We got some slides up. We're being challenged. We're being encouraged to look into God's word, to recognize the needs of those around us, to share God's compassion. And maybe some of us are sitting here and we're thinking, wow, it would be wonderful if Fred really hears this and is challenged to go and get involved. It would be wonderful if Sally, sorry if there's a Fred and a Sally here, I'm trying to invent some names. It would be wonderful if Sally was challenged. Maybe we're ready to respond and say, Lord, here am I. Send my sister out into mission work. Well, the thing is, Jesus, when he's praying to the Father in John chapter 20, verse 21, he says, Father, in the same way that you have sent me, so I am sending you. This incredible statement. We heard with the children, didn't we, that God is a missional God. God on mission, sending his Son and saying, in the same way that I've sent the Son, so the Son is sending us, his followers. Wow. What does that mean? That means that we are all called to be missionaries. We don't have to wait for a call. We are all called to witness to the resurrection of Christ, if we are a follower of Christ. We are all missionaries. We are all sent out. Some of us are sent out to witness in our schools and colleges where God has placed us. Some of us are sent out to witness in our places of secular employment. Some of us are sent out to witness amongst retired friends that God has placed around us. Some of us are sent out to witness to the youth and through our community ministry. Some of us are sent out to witness in all sorts of different places. And some are called and will be called to go to the ends of the earth with the gospel. That's what Jesus spoke about, those final words to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and you will go and be my witnesses. Where? In your local area of Eastleigh and in the area of Southampton and in your whole nation and to the ends of the earth. All of us who are called followers of Jesus are called to go and be witnesses. But we have to be challenged. As we recognize our calling locally, we have to also be challenged about the needs of those who have not yet heard, the least reached. 40%, 3 billion people around the world. And those statistics that come up on the screen that show that we, as Christians, we focus so much of our Christian mission work in areas where Christianity is already established. We spend most of our wealth on ourselves. Only 1% of money Christians give, we give to mission work, is spent amongst the unevangelized. And how is the reality of those least reached around the world ever going to change if we're just focusing on the boat and not looking at the crowds outside? In fact, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, it's wonderful, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he goes through this logical progression of thought. The problem is, how can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe on the one they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Churches need to send out people to take the good news to the ends of the earth. And if you go, you'll have beautiful feet. Wonderful promise. That first or second trip that Helen and I made to Moldova, I'll never forget standing in this teacher training college. And we were given 20 minutes to share with the students. And the principal, the director, was very cautious. Who are these foreigners coming to speak about a foreign religion? She said, you've only got 20 minutes. She gathered 400 students, teenagers, who were studying to become teachers in the city of Kahul. And there we are. And we all shared our testimony and we shared the hope we have in Jesus. We sung a few songs. We finished 20 minutes. The tambourine rang and that was time to finish. And I looked at the director and she said, well, carry on. This is interesting. 4 hours later, this is 96, 4 hours later, the students are all still there, hungry to hear the good news of Jesus. At one stage, we ran out of things to share, but we never did because, well, the Lord just inspired us to share our testimonies and share from his word. At one stage, one of the other teachers stood up and shouted in Romanian, "De ce n-am auzit această niciodată?" I don't know if we have Romanians here. "De ce n-am auzit această niciodată?" Why have we never heard this before? Wow. Why has no one told us about the love of Jesus? Why has no one told us this good news? That was challenging and it still is. We think of 3 billion people who maybe could echo those words. Why have we never heard? We've never heard. Or they've never heard because people haven't gone. People haven't been willing to step out of the boat. And that is the calling for us as Christians. To pray for the least reached. To give towards those who will go and minister amongst the least reached. And let's pray that God would raise up more people from this congregation to go and to reach those who have never had the opportunity of hearing. You know, within OM, I did that 1 minute. I was more nervous about the 1 minute than about the sermon. Wow, that tambourine, I was keeping my eye on it. You know, such opportunities to go, to share the good news. One of our greatest joys recently is, it's not a joy to see our daughter leaving home, but our 18-year-old daughter left home 2 weeks ago. She's on her gap year. 6 months she's going to be away. It's her birthday today. We're missing her first birthday. Helen's going to start crying. But we're missing her, it's her 19th birthday. First time we're missing a birthday. But there she is, just arrived yesterday in Moldova, where she grew up. She's going to spend the next 5 months in a discipleship program, mission discipleship program, learning more what it means to follow Jesus and to share her faith. Wow! Isn't that what we want for all our 18, 19-year-olds? To get involved in mission work, even if it's for 1 year. 1 year that can change their life and can motivate and mobilize and inspire them to live, walking closely with Jesus, being thrilled when we're in the boat, but recognizing that we're also called to look outside. And before the tambourine shakes, I'm going to come to an end. Verse 38. So the disciples recognize the need. Well, Jesus then, he smiles at them. He says, you do something. And then he asks that question, what do you have? What do you have to offer? Oh, Lord, we're embarrassed. We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How can we make a difference with that? And Jesus says, bring them to me. No gifts too small. Bring what you have to me. And as they brought those gifts to Jesus, he took them and he lifted them before the Father and he prayed and he blessed them. He didn't give them to the crowds, but he gave them back to the disciples, and the miracle was happening. And the disciples took, and the disciples met the needs of all the people. The miracle took place in Jesus' hands when we are willing to offer all that we have to Jesus. And he can work and will work and meet the needs of those around the world. And the disciples started the day and they were tired. They were weary. They were hungry. They finished the day and they'd been with Jesus and they'd served Jesus. And 12 basketfuls were left over. That's a coincidence, isn't it? Jesus met their needs whilst meeting the needs of others. So I finish with this. How did the disciples feel at the end of that day? They'd been with Jesus and learned that God can use us to make a difference. Come and talk to us afterwards. You can get a free book or give a donation if you like. It's a book that Helen and I wrote about our time in Moldova and speaks about it. Well, the title is Missionary. Me? Can God use me? I'd love to give you a copy of this, especially if you've got teenagers in your home or if there are teenagers here, students, get a free copy. God can use each one of us. That's what I've learned and continue to learn if I'm willing to step out by faith. So I finish with the summary. We recognize that God has blessed us, that we are so safe in the boat with Jesus. We recognize it's wonderful to be in the boat, but there are so many people who are not in the boat, so many people who have never had the opportunity of hearing. And we recognize afresh that all of us who claim to be followers of Jesus are called, are sent ones, sent into the world to witness to the hope of the resurrection. So we're going to be responding as we come towards the end of our service. Anita will be leading us. But an opportunity for us to offer our lives again unreservedly, to say, Lord, here am I. I want to follow you. I want to be close to you. But to remember that Jesus says, you do something. You feed them. We're all called to witness to the grace and the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.